Hello and welcome back to Impacting the World on the Pulse of Every Day. Let's get started with our Colossians prayers this morning, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to pray over ourselves. On this day, we have not heard of it. Since we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray. And just make a special request for ourselves, asking that we may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of your Lord God, and understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God. With full and deeper and clear insight, acquaintance, and recognition, I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with our power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. And I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portrait, which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and dominion of darkness, and you have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption, through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning I wanted to just give you some prayer points based on the second prayer of Solomon that we've been doing. So we're still doing prayers for supernatural breakthroughs. And so these strategic prayers will help you to obtain supernatural breakthroughs from heaven. And so we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles. We've looked at the first part of the prayer that Solomon prayed and how God supernaturally intervened in his situation and gave him more than what he asked for. God had given him an open check. And so today we want to look at the second prayer that Solomon prayed and see again how this resulted in God's supernatural manifestation in his life. And like I've done all week, I'll just give you the prayer points, and these are prayer points that you can use and take time to pray on your own in your homes. So let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we find that this is after that they've gone to the house of God, you know, and he had built the house of God, and now Solomon is praying to the Lord. And we'll go back to these previous verses or chapters just because there's just so much there that we need then before we just jump into the prayer point. But let's start from 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 1 through 14 is what we'll read right now. Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have built you a house in which the dark holy of holies seems a fitting abode for you, a place for you to dwell in forever. And the king turned his face and blessed all the assembly of Israel, and they all stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hands what he promised with his mouth to David, my father, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among the tribes of Israel to build a house in that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name and the symbol of my presence might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name and renown of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, since it was in your heart to build a house for my name and renown, you did well that it was in your heart. Yet you shall not build the house, but your son who shall be born to you, he shall build the house for my name. That the Lord therefore has performed his word that he has spoken. For I have risen up in the place of David my father and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. In it I put the ark, the symbol of his presence, in which is the covenant of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, which he made with the people of Israel. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread forth his hands. For he had made a bronze scaffold 5 cubits square and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court of honor. He stood and knelt upon his knees before all the assembly of Israel and spread forth his hand toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heavens or in the earth, keeping covenant and showing mercy and loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. Now I want to just continue briefly until we get to verse 17. And it says, kept your promises to my father David and fulfilled with your hand what you spoke with your mouth as it is today. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that you promised him, saying, there shall not fail a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, provided your children are careful to walk in my law, as you, David, walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let your word to your servant David be verified. Amen. So I want us to start looking first at verse 14. So, you know, if we read this all the way to verse 21, you know, you'll see, well, let me just go there briefly, real quickly, up to verse 21. So let's start verse 18. But will God actually dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built? Yet have respect for the prayer of your servant and for his supplication, O Lord my God. Listen to the cry that your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open upon this house day and night toward this place in which you have said you would put your name and the symbol of your presence, to listen to and heed the prayer which your servant prays facing this place. So listen to and heed the request of your servant and your people Israel, which they shall make facing this place. Hear from your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. And then, you know, it goes on. Well, if we go into verse 40 through 42, you'll find that, you know, he says there, now, O my God, I beseech you, let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayer of this temple. So now I rise, O Lord God, and come into your resting place. You are the ark of your strength and power. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints, this ones, rejoice in good and in your goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of me, the anointed one, your servant. So after this, after he prayed, that there were supernatural manifestations that, you know, were going to take place. Yet, you know, God waited until this prayer was prayed, until this prayer was finished. And so once he uttered this prayer, we see God moving in a miraculous way. In fact, just prior to this time Solomon uttered this petition, the glory of God had already moved in such depth that the priests collapsed under the supernatural presence of God's Spirit. If you read it, if you go to Chronicles chapter 5, and you'll see from verse 11 through 14, the Bible says, and when the priests had come out of the holy place, all the priests present had sanctified themselves, separating themselves from everything that defiles without regard to their divisions, and all the Levites who were singers of all those Asaph, Heman, and Jibithan, with their sons of kingdom, kingsmen, arrayed in fine linen, having symbols of lyres, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. And when the trumpeters and singers were joined in unison, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and other instruments for song and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Amen. And so that visitation, you know, which took place at the beginning of the dedication service, you know, the Bible, but the intensity of what God's people experienced after Solomon's prayer was even more outstanding, you know, because if we go to chapter 7, you know, we see verse 1 and 3, what, you know, when Solomon had finished praying his prayer, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices of the Lord. The glory of the Lord of the house. The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the people of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed with their faces upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. So, of course, initially they couldn't stand because of the glory of God's presence. But, you know, we saw that before Solomon offered his prayer. But and also at the end of the dedication, they couldn't even enter the temple area because of the intensity of God's presence. And so if that happened when the symbolic old covenant foreshadowing took place, how much more glorious should it be for the fulfillment for us, the living new covenant temple of God? Amen. So when God answered Solomon's prayer, he spoke to him. We pick up from chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 15 and verse 16. It says, "Now my eyes will open and my ears, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer offered in this place. For I have chosen and sanctified, set apart for holy use this house. My name may be here forever, and my heart will be here perpetually." Amen. So this temple of Solomon was just a symbol of God's true and ultimate intention to make believers his living temple. And so if God would give this kind of pledge concerning an inanimate building, how much more will he speak over us, the living stone that make up his worldwide spiritual temple? That's why in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, he says, "My eyes and my heart will rest upon them perpetually," meaning you and I, that his eyes, he's given us a covenant. His eyes and his heart will rest upon us continuously, perpetually. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Come, and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and are pleasing to God through Jesus Christ." Amen. And this is in chapter 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Amen. And so this, I'll quickly give you the prayer points that are revealed in Solomon's prayer. And I want to start with chapter 6, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 14, he says, "And he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heavens or the earth, keeping covenant, showing mercy and loving kindness to servants who walk before you with all their hearts." So in his prayer, he starts off by declaring the uniqueness of God of Israel. No man-made deity here on earth to be compared to God or offer what he offers, which is covenant and mercy. It's important for you to understand covenant, because covenant is a binding agreement between two or more parties, each party committing himself or herself to fulfill certain obligations. And so God has established a total of 9 major covenants for us here in this world. He introduces the terms of the covenant, and it's up to you and I to be, to accept those terms. And if we do, God commits himself to it. And so one of the most powerful scriptures revealing the power of abiding in a covenant relationship with God was a prophecy that was given about David's dynasty by Jeremiah. And if you go quickly to Jeremiah 33, just hold your place here in 2 Chronicles, but just go quickly to Jeremiah 33, verse 20 and 21. You'll see that the Bible here says in verse 20, "Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that they shall day and night in their season, then can also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign upon his throne, and my leave be broken also with my Levitical priests, my ministers." So in other words, God was saying, you will have to shut the operations of the solar system before you can overthrow the dynasty of David. Basically, my covenant with David. And so it is that our covenant with God is just as secure. So the other thing here, we see that he first talks about, going back to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 14, Solomon starts off by praying, by saying there's no God like you in the heavens or the earth, keeping covenant and showing mercy and loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. So the second thing that he mentions here is mercy. This is mercy is compassion shown to offenders when judgment is deserved. And so we know that David celebrated this attribute of God in Psalm 103, verse 11, where he said, "For the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him." And then also in verse 17 and 18 in Psalm 103, he says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, to such as keep his covenant. And so though David had backslidden, God was merciful toward him. He was God mercifully restored him. And so that same mercy demonstrated so powerfully in him, done as a legacy to his house, preserving David's throne until Jesus the Messiah came. And then when Jesus ascended to heaven, in a sense, this King of all kings moved the throne of David to the highest and most glorious realm. And so God's promise that the throne of David would endure forever was actually fulfilled on a much higher level. And so there's so many promises that have been given to us in the Bible. One is Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. It says, therefore know that the Lord God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Amen. So we need to know these scriptures. We need to know where God has promised his mercy and his covenant. So the first prayer point, just like Solomon prayed, would be to affirm that there is no one like God and that nothing can overthrow his covenant that he has with you. And pray also that he will pour out his mercy on you and your house. Once you read the Bible throughout, you'll see whenever people cried out for mercy, their prayers were answered. You know, and so people for mercy in the Old Testament, even some in the New, surely, you know, we can also cry out for mercy and we will receive answers. In fact, Hebrews 4:16 says that, you know, this is how, you know, we should come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. And so if you're in a time of need, you want to go before the Lord, affirm that there's none like him in all the earth, there's none like him in, you know, in heaven, and that nothing can overthrow the covenant that you have with God. Pray that he will pour out his mercy and cry out for his mercy, not only upon you, but you and your house. You and your house, meaning you and your household, everybody that's in your house. And this extends to even those who are not yet born. And so you want to take that first prayer point. Second prayer point is verse 15 through 17. We read that he says, you who have kept your promises to my father David and fulfilled with your hand what you spoke with your mouth as it is today. Now therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that which you promised him, fail a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, provided your children are careful to walk in my law, as you, David, have walked before. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let your word to your servant be verified. So again, showing gratitude is a high virtue. Here Solomon is gratefully acknowledging the fulfillment of the past promise. God had been faithful to his father David and miraculously carrying him through dangers, persecutions, and disappointments, so that promise, you know, disappointments to the divine appointment of reigning over all Israel. And so God also had supernaturally given him the design of the temple by the Holy Spirit, so that that promise was finally fulfilled as well by his son Solomon. And so when we give our Creator due, it can be also a virtuous thing. Even though it was David who stored up materials and Solomon is the one who oversaw the actual construction, it was God who supernaturally empowered them both to do these things. So the credit for the building and the completion of the temple was assigned to God. Now, only after Solomon had done this did he ask for something new. He asked for the fulfillment of the promise, preservation of his own throne and dynasty. And in like manner, we should never rush into God's presence asking him for new things, for the fulfillment of yet unfulfilled promises, until we have gratefully acknowledged what he has already done. Furthermore, if we ever, even if we have accomplished great things for the kingdom, we should, just like Solomon did, assign all the credit to the Most High God, the one who gives us life and breath and a mind to think with, and the revelation of his will and the power to bring it to pass. And so it's so important for us to make sure that we do that. So prayer point number two, you will express gratitude for the things that God has already done for you. Give God the credit for everything that you have accomplished in your life, recognizing him as the one and only true source. Then ask him to let his word written, the written word, and the living promises to come true in your life. You know, his promises to you in times past, quickly, let's go to number three, prayer point, which is in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. But will God actually dwell with man on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less this house which I have built? Yet have respect for the prayer of your servant and for his supplication, O Lord my God. So listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open upon this house day and night, toward the place in which you have said you would put your name and the symbol of your presence, to listen to and heed the prayer which your servant prays facing this place. So Solomon here, he claims the exceptional greatness of God, how small his abilities and efforts are in comparison. And so in like manner, you and I should celebrate God's greatness, his omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence, declaring that he knows everything, he is everywhere, he has all power. Exalt how vastly superior his ability is compared to yours. And so one of the things here is that Solomon acknowledges that the temple is not great within itself. Rather, it's a mere building made with hands. It's insignificant compared to how big God is. And the temple is great only because it is a place in which to hallow God's name. And for this reason, we find that Solomon requests that God's eyes and ears be attentive to the prayers that are prayed there. And so in your prayer point, you would declare God's exceptional greatness and your own inability in comparison. Remind God that your heart is his new covenant temple where his name is enshrined. And ask that God's eyes and ears be set upon you. Ask him to set his eyes and his ears upon you. Now let's go to verse 21. It says, so listen to and hear the requests of your servant and your people Israel, which they shall make facing this place. Hear from him. Place heaven, and when you hear, forgive. So to acknowledge the need of forgiveness and to exhibit faith for it are essential attitudes of the heart. So David pleaded with God, Psalm 51 and verse 9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Now, if you remember, blotters were used in times past to soak up the ink on paper so that errors no longer exist. So when God blots out, they no longer exist as far as God is concerned. And so it is compared to deleting something on a computer and then emptying out the trash can so it no longer exists. So forgiven people attract the glory of God because it's written that he pours out the riches of his glory, the vessels of mercy, those who are mercifully delivered from their past errors. Romans 9, 23, 1 John 1, 9. And so you can claim the scriptures promise forgiveness because they are for you and for me. And so any place you find that there's scriptures asking for forgiveness, use those prayers for yourself. And then let's go to verse 41. We'll jump through all this and go to 41. It says, so now arise, O Lord, and come into your resting place, you and the ark of your strength and power. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints, zealous ones, rejoice in good and in your goodness. Here Solomon was inviting the one and true living God to come and inhabit the temple with his glory in the midst of the world that often ignores his commandments and rejects his lordship and grieves the Holy Spirit and blasphemes his name. And so how impossible it would be for God to feel at first among such darkened and self-willed souls. But Solomon is promising the opposite. Solomon is pledging to God that he'll be hallowed, he'll be respected, he'll be obeyed and adored among them. And in essence, he was saying to God, well, you can feel at home with us. You can be at rest among us. We honor you, Lord. We exalt you to the highest place. We value our relationship with you, and we want it to be permanent. So God, arise to your resting place. And so when you pray on this particular point, you want to offer your heart and life as God's eternal resting place. Let it be the spiritual house, you know, your life, your body. Let it be the spiritual house where you will be well, you be loved and praised in the midst of a world that's at enmity with him. And so offer your heart and life as God's eternal resting place. Then let's go to verse 41. Well, the other part of 41, he says, you and the ark of your strength, they talked about arising, O Lord God, and coming to your resting place. It says, you and the ark of your strength and power. Amen. And so wherever the Ark of the Covenant resided, when you read the Old Testament, you'll see that its presence imparted supernatural strength. Usually, in fact, often battles were won against superior odds because the ark, or God's symbolic throne on the earth, was present. Now, of course, it wasn't the gold overlaid acacia wood, you know, acacia wood that box that imparted such strength, but the spiritual reality exemplified by it. And so at that time, nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses had put there in Horeb. And apparently the Philistines had removed Aaron's rod that budded and the golden bowl that was full of manna and the book of the law. But they didn't take the tablets of stone because, you see, they could be that they wanted the heavenly bread and the longevity that it might give. They wanted the powerful rod that could part the bodies of water, cause a river to gush out of the rock. They wanted the revelation and understanding of what God had done in the past, the scroll containing the Torah. But they didn't want God's Ten Commandments regulating their behavior. They didn't want his handwriting on their lives, his lordship, his dominating influence, his moral boundaries. They wanted the benefits, but not the responsibilities for, of connecting with God. And so to welcome the ark of his strength is to welcome the demands of a covenantal relationship. It means to invite his enthronement in your heart, to welcome his laws, guiding your actions, his commandments, ruling your choices, his moral boundaries, dictating your ethics. Of course, that's what the new covenant is all about, because in this era, the Most High promises in Jeremiah 31, 33, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. So his fiery fingers engraving his will internally in those who surrender. And remember, where the ark is, the glory of God rests. And so as you pray for a particular prayer point, welcome the ark of the covenant into your inner being and ask God to write his law in your heart. Invite his glory into your life. Then again, we see that it says, let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints, your zealous ones, rejoice in and in your goodness. And so, of course, the word salvation means deliverance. So to be clothed with salvation is to be adorned with God's deliverance power, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so God has promised to manifest salvation in every area of our lives. We walk with him, for he is the author of eternal salvation, as we see in Hebrews 5, verse 9. And under the new covenant, all of us believers are priests, according to 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9. So we are sanctified people, individuals who have been cleansed from sin, we've been set apart and dedicated to God for his purposes, as long as we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So when we worship, we flow together to the goodness of the Lord. This is what Jeremiah 31, verse 12 tells us. So in this particular prayer point, that you are a priest of God and ask him to clothe you with salvation. Make a commitment to live a godly, holy, saintly life and rejoice in God's goodness. And finally, we want to go to verse 42, which says, O Lord God, turn not away the face of me, your anointed one. Earnestly remember your good deeds, mercy, and steadfast love for David, your servant. So Solomon ends this particular chapter, long prayer, by referring to himself as God's anointed, faith-filled affirmation. He was acknowledging before God that, Lord, you've poured out on me the oil of your spirit to accomplish an ordained task. And since it's your purpose and not my own devising, please grace me to gaze in your direction and to be received. For I am yours, and as a servant, I exist to fulfill your will. So when Solomon asked God to remember the mercies of the servant, he could have also been referring to the ancient prophecy that God would mercifully preserve the house of David and keep the dynasty safe from generation to generation, as we saw. So this request drew one of the most amazing responses from the God of heaven to be found in Scripture. And so we should make this an object of meditation, because in the same kind of mercy is promised, the same kind of mercy is promised to all of us believers. We see in Isaiah 55, verse 3, God encourages us all. He says, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. And so in this final prayer point, you want to claim the sure mercies of David in your life. I'll tell you that this prayer is very, very powerful. If you will take the time to go through it all and to begin to pray this, oh my God, you will see God show up in a most powerful way. like we saw that the glory of God descended in the room, in the house of God where they were. And as you pray this, expect the glory of God to manifest in your home, you know, to manifest wherever it is you're praying. And so it is so important that you do that, having done the other prayer points that I shared the other day. And so I thank you so much for joining this week. Today concludes our prayers for supernatural breakthroughs. I will not be back on radio from tomorrow. I'm taking a break, and I'll only return on July 9th for our weekly spirit-led prayers. So we'll begin July 9th. I hope you have enjoyed these teachings, and I pray that you were blessed and will surely not let these just sit aside, but you will use them to see the manifestation of God's glory in your life and to see your situations turn around. I thank you so much again for joining me, and I'll talk to you on July 9th by God's grace. You have a blessed and prosperous day. Be blessed. Bye-bye.